Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemecek, and we are continuing on our series on spiritual warfare. I'm hoping that we can conclude today. I just wanted to, in the past shows, we've kind of outlined the spiritual battle that's out there, that there is a real enemy out there. He's personal. He's a force of evil. He's a fallen angel. He wants our bad. He wants our evil. He wants us to die forever and never be reunited with God. And in this world, hopefully, if we suffer as much as possible without knowing why or without being able to offer up that suffering, that's even better. But as long as the purpose of suffering, in his case, is to lead us astray and not to lead us towards the Lord, which in fact, a lot of suffering does, right?
Yes, it does.
So unless we know the bad news, which is what we've taken a lot of time to outline, right? The sinful condition of the human nature, about how Satan has really and truly hijacked the human race and is the prince of the world. But unless we know that bad news, the good news of Jesus is going to always seem like no news, right? So that's where you have people where evangelism isn't taking anymore because people don't even see the need to be saved, right? They're fine, right? It's like material goods are taking the place of everything else. The Second Vatican Council affirms that Christ, by his death and resurrection, has freed us from the power of Satan. And Christ was crucified and rose again to break the stranglehold of personified evil. So what's our response? Well, be of good courage. That'll be the number one thing, okay? Be of good courage, meaning it doesn't mean gut it out. That's not what courage is. The cardinal virtue of fortitude is that, that intestinal strength, right, that we need in order to use courage. It's the willingness, Joseph Pieper said, the willingness, courage, or fortitude is a willingness to sustain a wound in defense of what is right. It's the strength to be prudent and to be just, and it's a result of habit. You don't just acquire courage one day fully formed, okay? Needs to be a result of habit, which means we need to keep doing it and then keep doing it and then do it again and then do it some more. You know, in the words of the famous commercial, just do it. Do not
be
deceived.
Exactly right. Keep repeating it till it becomes just automatic.
Realize that we are fighting against the sin in the world, but we are also fighting against our own sinful natures. In Romans 1, which is one of the best analyses, I think, of what we see today happening, it shows that as you push God away, your thinking becomes futile and your hearts are darkened. In other words, through sin, our futility, we become blind and deaf. We become blind and deaf to sin. And that's why, you know, we call it, you and I have called it, our consciousness being seared, like we just don't see it anymore.
Right.
You know, or like we've been vaccinated or something. But our sinful condition makes our thinking futile. And that's where you see all the silliness that you see today, right? In all the headlines, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, what can we say about a kindergartner's identifying for the other sex and being allowed to alter themselves surgically before puberty? You know, maybe not kindergartners, but grade schoolers. You know, all the silliness, the seal, all the stuff about the bathroom wars. Remember the bathroom wars?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. That's futile. I mean, I always think about Romans 1 when I see all this silliness on the news. I am not at all, of course, minimizing the suffering of somebody who really and truly might have a really serious case of dysphoria, gender dysphoria or gender dysmorphia. We don't want to play down the sufferings of people who are really suffering. But this is a cultural phenomenon that has just been triggered by futility.
That's right. Well, that's why, going back to what you said a moment earlier about prudence, if you go to the catechism, and I love prudence, it's Catechism 1806, prudence is a virtue that disposes practical reason to discern our true good in every circumstance and to choose the right means of achieving it. In short, it really is, prudence is right reason and action. And that's right. really what we're trying to arm ourselves with is prudence in every situation mm-hmm. and how we live our lives. And that's how we arm ourselves, you know?
That's right. That's right. And fortitude is at the service of prudence.
Mm-hmm.
Fortitude allows us to have the disposition in which we can have prudence.
Right.
But if we're scared out of our minds all the time and all we're trying to do is keep our head down and blend in with the crowd and never stand up for anything, we will end up like Ben Franklin said, if you don't stand for something, we will all, if we don't, what is it? If we don't stand for something, we will all hang separately. That's what he said, right? Yeah,
well,
I mean.
You know, with fortitude, it strengthens the resolve to resist temptations and to overcome obstacles in the moral life.
Right.
Now, isn't that something that we all need to embrace today?
So that we're not talking about like the courage to do something stupid, because that's not courage. That's not real courage, right?
No.
We're not talking about, we're just asking for the strength to do what is right. And sometimes you have to stand up for what is right. And sometimes you do have to say something. And sometimes you don't have to say a thing, but your very behavior proclaims, right, the opposite
yeah.
of what is going on, right?
Not participating in something says something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being that good example says volumes.
That's right. And remember, we are all combatants. There's nobody who's a neutral party. There's nobody here in Switzerland, okay? There's no fence sitting. There's no, oh, I'm going to wait and make up my mind, because Satan owns the fence that you're trying to sit on. Mm-hmm. You have to make up your mind. Jesus himself has said, you're either for me or you are against me. But the good news is Jesus has conquered evil. I mean, in the end, this is just a mop-up battle. These are a series of battles that are a mop-up deal that as Satan is like lobbing grenades behind his shoulder as he retreats. Because he has been vanquished. Of course, if you stop fighting him and you invite him in, he's gonna take a break from the lobby, the grenades, and come in and live with you. And
right.
you're not gonna like that, right?
But you know, if we're really Catholic warriors, then we have that power of our faith. You know, we're gonna rest on that. And you know, one of my favorite things in the Bible is if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say the mountain, move mm-hmm. from here to there and it will move mm-hmm. and nothing will be impossible for you.
Mm,
now, mustard seeds, you know what a mustard seed looks like. It's a very, very small seed.
Mm-hmm.
When I was little, I was given a bracelet that had a little mustard seed inside the little capsule and I could see it. And I don't know what happened to it. But I love that bracelet. And I'm so a mustard seed, I can truly visualize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to, you know, scripture tells us that this is possible. So mm-hmm. we cannot deny what's being told to us. So we need to, you know, use our faith in the graces that we receive, which we do not deserve, but are given, to combat this. I mean, we can do it because not on our own, but through Jesus, through the cross, through grace, through the church, everything. There's so many layers to it.
Greater is he who is within me than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:5. Isaiah 54, no weapon that's fashioned against you will prosper. That's another good one.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 12, they have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, we just need to stand up for what is right. And we need to put on our armor. But not everybody is called to exercise, okay? Not everybody is called to pray for deliverance. Most of us are called to be in the trenches. And with our behavior, with what we do, we're called to fight that battle. Remember that, unfortunately, God has allowed. Why does God allow evil? That's always a good question, right? God allows evil because for his infinite and inscrutable purposes, he allows the presence of evil and sin in the world to purify us, to refine us, and to make us more holy so that we will eventually, be able to join him, right?
Absolutely.
So we need to rejoice because God, the glory of God is with us. We need to be of good courage, and we need to know that we have a spirit of power and love of self-control, right? I mean, those are all good things. Here's an image on how to combat, how we should be in the battle. One of the names of Satan that's given in the New Testament is taken from the name of a Canaanite divinity, Baal-zebub. And Baal-zebub, translated loosely, means Lord of the Flies. Now, in our own day, though they had flies, we have flies. We know that we don't like flies, right? What are flies attracted to? Where do you usually find flies? You find flies?
I would say dead things.
And also the garbage, right? If you don't, yeah. What happens when you don't take the garbage out, right? Yeah. Just a very non-exciting image, right? If you don't take the garbage out, you're going to get flies. Mm-hmm. The same thing applies in our life. What is the garbage in our lives that's attracting flies?
And you will fester, as with a wound, if you don't take care of it. So
what are the flies? What is the garbage in your life? So the main point is take out the garbage. Take out the garbage every day. And that means acknowledging it. You ask, praying for discernment, praying for purity of heart, acknowledging your sin, repenting, and moving on. Not obsessing over it. Not getting blocked over it, but take out the garbage on an hourly basis if necessary. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate. Meaning what? Know what the truth is, because we can't put our loins of truth on if we don't know what the truth is.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
And put on the breastplate of righteousness. That would be Jesus's righteousness. Be willing to reconcile with everyone in peace, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and to share the kerygma. What's the main point of the kerygma? That's the good news for us. Jesus has blown death and Satan up from the inside out. He allowed himself to be taken. He allowed himself to be killed, but the devil did not know of the, and this is in the words of C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia, of that great magic before the beginning of time that would start working backwards if an innocent victim offered themselves up for the sins of an unrighteous man. And so the great news is that Jesus has blown up Satan, and he has blown up sin, and he has blown up death. That's the good news. That's what we need to keep in mind. And that's what we need to keep in mind when we have the shield of faith, which we turn down false teaching and the arrows of the evil one in strongholds in our life that keep telling us that we're no good. Put on the helmet of salvation, cover your head and your intellect, and you wield the sword of the Spirit. I mean, that's pretty, you know, that in a way that kind of shows us that the primary battlefield is the mind.
Yes.
Everything begins that way. The mind is also the flesh, the carnal serving ways of the world and behaving. And Satan can act on us in three primary ways. He can deceive us, right? So that's where it's interesting and important to know the truth, right?
Right.
And he can tell us lies about ourselves, right? Lies about ourselves eventually will become things like strongholds in our life. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is an incorrect thinking pattern that stems from believing something that's not true. But how easy is that to happen for us, right? Let me give you an example of strongholds that that most Catholics believe, and then personal strongholds. Two big lies that many Catholics believe, universalism would be one, right? Somehow, right. Everyone's getting to heaven, maybe even Hitler, maybe Satan too. Who knows, right? That we just, you know, it's okay. Matthew 7:13 actually means the opposite of what it really says, right? Somehow everybody's getting to heaven. All roads lead to God. Everything's fine. That's one big lie. It's a stronghold, I think, in many people's lives. And the two is many Catholics live in a fog of sin, in a haze of sin. They don't know that they're sinning. Remember that, what we talked about?
Yep.
Stronghold silence about sin that we're experiencing from the, right? And we're experiencing it from people who should know better. But what's the cure? Take every thought captive to Christ. Take every thought captive to Christ. So how do we overcome personal strongholds? Well, let me give you some example of what strongholds. Strongholds are lies of the evil one that affect us. And that they create these things that you really need dynamite to get out. They bind us and they hold us back from living the fullness of the blessing of God. Well, here's some examples. Anger, fear, rejection, whether it's real or perceived. They don't like me. Well, maybe they don't even think about you. It's not like they don't like you. Maybe they do like you. Why do you always have to think that somebody doesn't like you? That's a stronghold. That's rejection. Abandonment. People who have experienced divorce, justified or not. It's funny, the people who feel shame, who really, you know, have nothing really to be ashamed about. Lying is a stronghold. Never really quite telling the truth. Grief, like that complicated grief that's not normal grief. It's the grief that holds on and keeps you by the throat and never allows you to be productive ever again. You know, poverty, addictions, sensual pleasure and hedonism. Depression could be a stronghold. Grief, mental instability, pride, procrastination, consumerism. I mean, there, you know, maybe some examples, right? So how do we get some? I've actually been prayed with women, and this happens more with women, but I've seen it with men too, who have actually internalized the lie, I'm stupid, or I'm ugly.
Yes, or, I'm not attractive. Right? Yeah.
No one will ever pick me for their team.
I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. That kind of thing. And those are strongholds because in the end, they're lies. They're lies. They're absolute lies. Now, strongholds can be there, like a result of many things. They could be a result of abuse. They could be a result of hurts. But like I said, as we pray with people for inner healing and unbound, we see people who received what they thought was rejection on the playground in fourth grade that was never meant as rejection, right? Or maybe it was a thoughtless word from a parent who adores them, right? Who loves them to death. And they internalize it as part of their internal structure. And they go on for 20, 30 years thinking they're dumb. Right? Or right. Nobody likes them. And then they can tell, you know, you can talk yourself out of these things. You can give yourself the reality. But it's a, there's a spiritual component that needs to be broken. And I think that's a great way in which we can really fight the battle is help people to destroy strongholds.
And we all have spiritual baggage. I mean, no one's immune to this. You know, everybody's going to struggle with this. That's why this is helpful for you to bring this to everyone's attention, because it is a part of what everyone deals with.
That's right. And the origin of struggles is deception. Mm-hmm. That's why we need the belt of truth. Get it? I mean, that's why. We need to know the truth about ourselves. Who am I? Who are you? We are daughters of Christ. We are the righteousness of Jesus. We, you know, we are beloved. He has given ransoms for us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We need to be able to throw out the garbage. So,
and we have to claim and accept the love that, that God has for us, the perfect love, the perfect plan of salvation for us. We have to claim that.
That's right.
His plan.
Every day.
Whatever it may be.
Your plan, Lord, not mine. And then from deception, there's temptation. Because, you know, if you believe a lie, then you're tempted to do something stupid. I mean, I shouldn't say more than that, right? And then once you've given in, that's where you resist, right? That's what James 4:7 says. Resist him. Don't cave into temptation. Resist. But let's say you did cave in. Well, then you have accusation. I can't believe you did that, right? The fiery darts of the enemy in a certain way are also accusation. So what do we do? God is love. Let's be like him. Do you have any relationships you need to heal? Go tell your son you love him. Go tell your daughter you love her. Go tell your mom that it's okay. Go tell your sister, your brother. Go tell your best friend. Go tell. Basically, I don't think we do. I mean, women are probably better at it than men, but I think men should just grab their sons and just say, son, I love you. And not enough is said. I don't think it's said enough, right? Right. You have families in which people know that they're loved, but they never say it, you know?
That's exactly right.
That's the cure is love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or rude. It does not insist on its way. It is not irritable or resentful. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endures all things, and it never ends. So stand firm, be of good courage, and know that God is love. And that's the way God looks. I always thought, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 is for us. Oh, yes, we have to love others. But really, that's a picture of how God looks at us.
That's right.
God is patient. God is kind. God always believes the best. Isn't that cool? When you look at it that way, that's how he looks at us.
You're throwing out a challenge to all of us.
So love, 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 love. Submit therefore to God and resist. That's the second part. Take every thought captive to Christ, meaning obey him and be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Use your discernment. So how do we do that? Well, we frequent the scriptures, which is kind of what we're all about here, because the scriptures lead you to the truth, right? Love, love, love. Be like Jesus. Use the sacraments. The ordinary channels of grace, the sacramentals, everything that's given to us for our benefit, right? go out and preach effectively and clearly in the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes use words.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, people might say, oh, I'm not a preacher. Well, okay, you're not a preacher. That's okay. But with your life, right? And then finally, pray, which is a conversation with the beloved. Ephesians 6, 19, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for the saints. That's it.
That's the formula.
That's the formula. Love, but I would say primarily love. Love will help us to have courage. Love will help us to be prudent. Love covers a multitude of sins. So how, I would say a challenge for us this week is, how can I fight the battle and be like Jesus? What relationships can I restore in the name of Jesus, even if it's personally humiliating to me? What in which ways can I be more courageous and just not want to just give up and let people do what they would do? You know, in what way can I love the world? Because that, brothers and sisters, I think is probably the most effective way in which we can fight the battle in which we find ourselves. Thank you for joining us.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.